This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The Middle East is a cauldron. Israel is fighting for her life. And the God of Israel, who says he's married to her, is jealous. Welcome to Viewpoint. I am Chuck Crismeyer, and today, believe it or not, we're not going to talk about Israel and the events that are taking place in the Middle East, but actually we're going to talk about the events that are taking place in the middle of your family. Welcome to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny, and marriage is on God's mind, my friends. Believe it or not, marriage is on his mind. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah said, "Turn, O backsliding children, says the Lord, because I'm married to you." I'm married to you. And one of the names that God gave himself there in the book of Exodus was Jealous. He is a jealous God, a jealous husband to his bride. And today we want to make an interesting analogy between you and me as the bride of Christ, whether we're male or female, as the bride of Christ with a jealous God, and the problems that are going on in your marriage, mine, all of our marriages, you see, seem to be having a problem. We are not experiencing paradise. God brought Adam and Eve together in a paradise place called Eden. But Eden is not being experienced in very many marriages today in our country, is it? And so today we're going to explore how we can get our marriages back to Eden, explore some secrets, the secret paradise, seven secrets for building a secure and satisfying marriage. Our special guest today, Jimmy Evans. Jimmy is one of America's leading experts on family and marriage relationships. He's founder and president of Marriage Today, a national marriage ministry airing to millions of homes every week. And he and his wife, Karen, work together not only in their marriage, but also regarding all of our marriages with their special television program. Jimmy's joining us today on Viewpoint. It's so great to have you, Jimmy.
Chuck, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
And it's hard for us sometimes to get our minds and hearts around this idea that Jeremiah espoused, that God is married to us. He said that God married Israel. And, of course, the Apostle Paul said that he was preparing the church as a chaste bride to be ready for the bridegroom. So we're in a betrothal state. We haven't consummated the marriage yet, and there's a whole lot of theology that can flow from that. But most of us, when we've made the vow, we are married, and God expects us to remain so for the rest of our days here on the planet, doesn't he?
Absolutely, Chuck. You know, I was doing a marriage seminar the other day. Exactly what you said is true, that, you know, the eternal state that all of us are in as believers is we're the bride of Christ. But I was talking to women specifically, and I was telling them that the reason that God made them a wife, that God made Eve, the original woman, not out of dust. He made her out of Adam's rib. And which is very significant, because he could have made her out of dust just like he made Adam and all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
But he created the first couple as a married couple, not just two individuals. And marriage is a part of his eternal plan. But I told women the reason that God made them as wives is because he couldn't make them anything higher than that.
Ooh.
And I told women in that same seminar that all of us as men are also wives. That's our eternal identity in God. If you're a believer, Chuck, if you have a biblical worldview, then exactly what you said at the beginning of the program is true.
Well,
we are created in the image of God, and there is an eternal marriage going on.
Well, it's so true that we've really missed it, and because we missed it, our marriages are being destroyed. And you were alluding to a fascinating concept that the Lord revealed to me about 20 years ago. My wife and I were doing a marriage seminar there in the area of Southern California that's currently under massive flames. And as I was preparing for this particular event just about an hour before, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, son, tell them to become a husband, you first must become a wife.
Yeah.
And husbands really have to see themselves as the bride of Christ, a wife to Christ, before they can be an effective husband to their own wives.
Well, I believe that's true, and I believe that what you said, again, to frame this discussion, is what has been lost in our culture. When you look at gay marriage, when you look at the sexuality, the Sex and the City type of sexuality that's being pushed on our culture today, and you just hear all these bizarre extremes that people are going into. Sometimes it's like, you know, we've lost our moral compass, and to understand how things got so wrong, you have to come back to a biblical worldview.
Well, you do.
Yeah, because that really is like, you know, gay marriage or whatever. If you don't have a biblical worldview, if you have a secular humanist kind of a worldview, nothing means anything. I mean, there, morality isn't sacred. Marriage isn't sacred. You know, according to a secular humanist worldview, we created marriage. God didn't. It was a product of social evolution, and it's under our control. And really, if evolution is real and secular humanists are right, you know, nothing means nothing, and might as well just do whatever we want to, eat, drink, and be merry. But if marriage is a part of God's eternal plan, and it's a part of his plan for mankind, you have to come back to that mindset to understand it is sacred, and it's a part of God's plan, and that's why in Genesis 2, God made marriage, but in Genesis 3, Satan attacked it.
That's the very first thing he did, isn't it?
You bet. That he understands how central marriage is to everything that God does. See, God saw Adam in Genesis 2 and said, it's not good for man to be alone. Well, he wasn't saying that because it was pitiful for Adam to stand there alone. He was saying that because God's plan could not be fulfilled unless there was a marriage.
We wouldn't even be having divorce if we hadn't adopted Satan's viewpoint in the very beginning, because Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day that tried to present Satan's viewpoint as the norm, he says, but from the beginning it was not so. And so we need to be reoriented in our thinking, and I love your book, Jimmy. We really do need to get back to the secret of paradise, back to God's view and viewpoint concerning marriage. And I think you've done a great job in revealing that. We want to kind of unfold that for our listeners here today on Viewpoint. Friends, you got to get a copy of this wonderful book, Our Secret Paradise, Seven Secrets for Building a Secure and Satisfying Marriage. And your gift of $19 or more to Save America Ministries will put this hard-won book in your hands. It might be the very best investment you ever made, not only for your family and your marriage, but also for the kingdom of God. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $350 for postage and handling, and we're going to put this marital paradise secret in your hands. Please stay tuned. Your marriage could depend upon it, or the marriage of a friend. Viewpoint, it's determining destiny right now. Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. We're becoming Christians that count for the kingdom as we look at our marriages today. Our special guest says that there is a secret paradise out there to be found with regard to our marriage, and you say, you got to be kidding. Well, not really. We watch daytime soap operas and take vacations on remote tropical islands looking for paradise. But the more we embrace these fantasies, the further away paradise seems, doesn't it? The reason for our disappointment is that these dream worlds, of course, are not reality. Like so much that we see on television, the chick flicks and romance novels that women are reading, they're imitations or at best temporary escapes. In fact, the whole porn industry is a substitute, an illusion for marital paradise. Dream as we may, fantasies can't satisfy the deepest longings in our hearts Only God can do that. So does that mean that we give up on the idea of paradise? No way. In fact, paradise in life, specifically in marriage, is possible, says our special guest today, Jimmy Evans. Jimmy, do you really believe that?
I absolutely believe that. And, you know, it's so critical that people begin to believe in marriage again today, Chuck. Many people are very fearful of marriage. They just don't believe it works anymore. You know, our marriage rate is the lowest in American history, and it continues to fall. Our divorce rate is very high.
In fact, it's the highest of all of the industrialized nations on Earth.
Yeah, there has just been such an attack on the Judeo-Christian ethic. You know, in other countries in the world where there is not even a Judeo-Christian ethic, they at least have laws that protect marriage, and the social customs of their culture are a lot more conservative when it comes to family in America.
Well, we like to think, Jimmy, that the problem is with the pagans, but the biggest problem is not with the pagans, but with the professing believers, and the more evangelical we are, the greater the divorce problem, so that the divorce rate now among God's professing people is greater than that as the nation as a whole, and in the Bible Belt of America, where you and I live and minister, it's 50% higher than the nation as a whole. Something's wrong in Denmark and in the church, isn't there?
It sure is. There has been a lie that has been told to us in America for the last 30 years concerning no-fault divorce, a liberalization of marriage in general for the last 50 years. But in the last 30 years, since no-fault divorce was introduced, we've been told that divorce, first of all, no-fault divorce told us that when it came into all 50 states, that divorce would be less common, less painful. Both of those are lies. Divorce is devastating to the people who go through it and their children, and it's more common than ever. But a lot of people, Chuck, just simply believe that divorce is convenient. If you get into a bad marriage, it's just a convenient step to take.
Well,
research has proven that people who divorce are no happier than unhappy people who stay married.
And the real illusion is that the opportunity for remarriage, which Jesus said was a biblical illusion. He said, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. And so we've just completely revised everything that Jesus said, everything the Apostle Paul said. We've turned it all on its head to worship the God of culture and its own viewpoint, and, you know, it's no mystery as to what's happened to us. But today we want to focus on how we can get out of this mess, and we're going to do it one marriage at a time, aren't we?
You bet. Absolutely. And just to say, it's worth it, and marriage still works. Everyone listening right now, regardless of any of the problems that they've had in their past, marriage works when you do it God's way. God is the sole proprietor of marriage. Our society did not create marriage, and they can't tell us how it works. Only God can really tell us how marriage works, and that's the reason for my book, Chuck, is just to help people to understand God's original design. The book is called Our Secret Paradise because marriage was created in a place called Eden. It was a paradise. It meant pleasure and delight. That was God's purpose for marriage, is to put us in our own secret paradise, is to make every marriage and every home a wonderful place for us to want to be. That's God's design. When he has his way, that's what happens. When the devil gets his way, it's a personal torture chamber.
All right. And now, let's kind of unwrap this thing, unfold it for everyone realistically. Let's talk about your marriage. Let's talk about my marriage from the very beginning. Now, we're getting ready in just a week and a half to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary, July 29th.
That's a big deal.
And just yesterday, our small congregation, combined with my family, surprised my wife and I and gave us a cruise to the Bahamas. Now, that is one of the areas that many believe is paradise. and a cruise is a second paradise. And so two of those things we are going to experience here shortly. But Jimmy, I got to tell you, for the first 7 years of our marriage, it wasn't paradise. Now, I was a pastor's son, grew up in the evangelical church, didn't eat, drink, or chew, didn't go with women that did. Didn't believe in divorce. That's probably the only thing that saved us for the first 7 years. But I'll tell you, it went from bad to worse. I was 21, she was 20, and I didn't have a clue. Just didn't have a clue what it meant to be the spiritual leader of our home, nonetheless a husband. How about you?
Absolutely. After several years of marriage, we were on the brink of divorce. We married when we were 19 years old. We've been married for 33 years, and we just didn't know the first thing about marriage. And you were talking earlier about the divorce rate in the church. It doesn't matter if you're raised in church or if you're a preacher's son or whatever. You don't know anything about marriage until somebody teaches you.
Mm.
And marriage is one of the most complex relationships in all of life. It requires training and education. Certainly requires understanding the opposite sex and the way that God made marriage, and I did not understand any of that, and neither did my wife. And we almost divorced. We have a tremendous amount of mercy for people who are divorced, because mm-hmm. we would be there, but by the grace of God.
Amen. Well, 7 years after we were married, 7-8 years, my wife came to me in the summer, as I recall, of 1975. I had just taken the first bar exam in California, and my wife came to me and said, "Chuck, I don't have any more feelings for you." Now, she didn't believe in divorce, but she said, "I don't have any more feelings for you." I'll tell you, I should have seen the signpost long before, but I thought I was too smart, and having majored in psychology undergraduate, I figured I could just rationalize and talk us around all of these things and put a wet blanket over it all, but it seemed like the smoldering coals just got bigger, spread wider and wider with every new eruption. And my wife said, I want to go. She had heard about the Institute of Basic Life Principles with Dr. Bill Gothard, and she said, I want to go to that. And I didn't want to go. I didn't want anybody doing their thing to me. I figured I knew what I needed to know. But I could see that things were not well. And so I reluctantly agreed to go. And here we are 40 years later, Bill. Excuse me, Jimmy. And if it hadn't been for that seminar where God got my attention, realizing that I was not the kind of man that I thought I was, I don't know where we would have been. But this very evening in our home, we are beginning to take 35 people through that seminar. And we're going to begin 2 hours after this broadcast is over. And I trust that it will impact their lives the same as it did ours. And you have a story as well. You say that were it not for the grace of God, you would have been divorced. And you say in your book, the final hurdle in your downward slide came one evening when you were having the same old fight about unmet needs and pet frustrations, and your wife accused you of not loving her. Same thing that happened to me. What happened?
Well, I think your story and our story both serve a very important purpose. Research proves that people who are unhappy in their marriages but stay together 5 years later, almost 80% of them are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at the point of divorce. I told Karen to get out. That I was just, I couldn't take any more. We fought all the time, and I didn't want her to leave, and we were Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We went to church every Sunday, believed in God, read our Bibles, but we just fought constantly about, I played golf a lot, worked a lot, played golf a lot, very insensitive, very dominant,
mm-hmm.
and we just fought until we were really just kind of numb, and God broke through in our relationship. Karen had been praying for me. She treated me actually better than I deserved, but she was also standing up to me because I was very chauvinistic and dominant. And she began to just make a very righteous response, in fact, to what I was doing. And it really shook my world because, A, she was treating me better than I deserved, and, B, she was standing up to me and telling me, "I don't want you talking to me this way, and I don't want to live this way." And I just wanted to create my own little chauvinistic world where she did what I wanted her to do. And when she began to stand up to me, and especially because she started praying for me, when I told her to get out that night, she was in the bedroom crying, and I was just in the living room. And the only way I can put it, Chuck, is that God really broke through in my heart,
mm-hmm.
and I began to see myself for the person I was, which was not a pretty picture. It was obviously very verbally abusive, very dominant. I was also very arrogant, which was really kind of more insecurity than anything.
Mm.
But I had never said I was wrong. I'd never said I was sorry. I had never acknowledged any of my behavior. And really that night, it began the breaking of the hardness in me that, you know, Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart, you divorce. Well, I was a hard man.
Mm.
And but because of my wife, really, because of God's power released through the prayers and love of my wife, the Lord began to break through my heart, and I began to change, and that began a healing process in our marriage that, honestly, this has been 30 years later after that, and we have grown in our love and in our intimacy since then until now, and we truly have a great marriage, but we certainly understand the other side.
Mm.
And anyone out there that's suffering in their marriage and feel like it's hopeless, it's not. When you invite God into the marriage, anything can happen.
Well, we have two stories here that are very parallel, almost identical, and both have endured, 30-plus years since these events that took place that were not pleasant. When feelings are lord of the life rather than Jesus, you're gonna end up with collapse, and you're not going to have paradise. And I think that's one of the problems, Jimmy, is that we're relying on upon our feelings. Our feelings have become the lord of our lives, and everything else bows to our feelings. But what you're saying in your book, and we want to get into that in the second half of the program, is that God must be lord of our marriage. And when Jesus is lord of your marriage, friend, everything else can change, and you might just have paradise restored. That's what we want to talk about. You got to get a copy of this hardbound book, Our Secret Paradise. Your gift of $19 or more to Save America Ministries might save your marriage. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org. You'll find the book there and many others as well. We'll be right back. It's not good for the man to be alone, God said, in the Garden of Eden. Let me ask you a question. Is your marriage like the Garden of Eden? I mean, before Satan showed up on the scenes? Well, probably not. There's an awful lot of trouble in marriages, and it's definitely not paradise, is it? But today on Viewpoint, we're going to sow some seeds that could result in your marriage becoming a secret paradise. And I'm so glad that you've joined us. God has marriage on his mind. There's no question about it, friend. And there's a reason why our marriages are under such attack on the near edge of the second coming. Now, most people believe that Jesus is coming soon. You see the signs of the times. It's almost, you have to be blind in one eye and can't see out of the other not to get the message. And so you got to know that in such a time as this, Satan is going to work triple time to destroy the second creation ordinance, which is our marriages. The first was the Sabbath. The second was marriage, a creation ordinance of God. Note this. The moment God brought the man and the woman together and pronounced them husband and wife, the next verse in the scripture, chapter 3, verse 1, of the book of Genesis says, then the serpent. Has the serpent gotten a hold of your marriage? He does it in a very subtle and sneaky way. We'll unfold that here in this segment of our program. Joining us, Jimmy Evans with his great book, Our Secret Paradise. Jimmy, then the serpent. He's gotten us, hasn't he?
Well, Chuck, he's been there since the very beginning, just like
yep.
you said, and he hates marriage. He is a strategist. He realizes that he doesn't really have to attack children. He doesn't have to attack schools or really, you know, government, all those kinds of things, the church. He doesn't really have to attack them much. If he can get marriage, he can take the whole society. Marriage is the foundation. It's the first institution that God ever created. It is the foundational institution of every institution in society. It is obviously the foundation of the family and of children and of church and of education and of government. And so in America, we're a case study of how a great nation can be brought to its knees simply by the attack of marriage. And so he's very real. Every person who gets married, there's an assignment on their marriage. I mean, the devil has an assignment on that marriage. He does not want it to be fulfilled or to be fulfilling or to succeed, because he realizes that marriage is part and parcel of God's will being accomplished on the earth. And God said it's not good for man to be alone, because marriage is how God is going to fulfill his purpose on the earth. So Satan attacks marriage with a vengeance.
Well, he does. And the last prophet in the Old Testament warned the Israel about this, and he called it treachery three times, which is a word akin to treason. Basically, the prophet Malachi was telling them that their divorces were a treasonous acts against the kingdom of God, and that God was not even going to answer their prayers. He says, you're pouring out your prayers on my altar. I'm not even going to listen to them with goodwill anymore, because you're not serious about my kingdom and my ways. And then here's the Apostle Paul that there in Ephesians 5 is talking about our marriages, and he says, I'm speaking of a great mystery, but I'm speaking of the relationship of Christ to his church. And what I think has happened, Jimmy, is we have so psychologized the whole concept of marriage today that we have lost the kingdom nature of marriage.
Yeah, absolutely, Chuck. I agree with that. And we have so personalized the entire concept of marriage to our own pleasures, what we forget is God did not create marriage specifically for us. He created it specifically for himself. And that doesn't mean that he didn't want it to bless us. It will bless us tremendously. But it's not for us. It's for him.
Good point.
God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And God wants a bigger family. The only thing that God gets out of all creation, besides a lot of heartache, is a bride for his son. Is in all of creation, when you get to the end of human history, he ends up with relationship, with a bigger family. And we know theologically that God is complete within himself. But there is something so important about fellowship with us that Jesus would come and die on the cross just to restore that. And so we have to understand that marriage is so important in God's plan. And so when we look at gay marriage as an example right now, and someone says, well, what's the problem with gay marriage? Well, it's very simple. It can't fulfill God's plan. And someone says, well, it doesn't matter. It fulfills me. Well, but a personal fulfillment apart from God's plan being fulfilled is the essence of sin. We like sheep have gone astray. We have each gone our own way. And so basically what we've said to God is, we're going to take control of marriage and we're going to do it our way. And what we see is marriage is failing. Marriage is being unfulfilling. No one being able to trust in the institution of marriage any longer, because we've removed it from its foundation, which is the Word of God.
Well, the great Apostle Paul also, talking to Timothy, said in the last days there would be perilous times, and the very first characteristic that he listed was men would be lovers of themselves. And now we have turned marriage into a self-love thing. It's all about me. Just the opposite of what God has said in his Word. And so I think you've really hit on something very, very important in your book, Jimmy, and it's life-changing, which brings us back to this subject of Jesus. Jesus, we say that Jesus is our husband. We're in a betrothed state to him. We become the bride. He's the bridegroom. We're to please him and so on. But what we don't remember is that Jesus died for us. He came to redeem us. And you say in your book that our marriages are to be redemptive, and if we're to experience paradise in our marriages, we're going to have to act like Jesus.
Well, that's exactly right. 1 Peter 2, you know, tells us about Jesus and about how he died for our sins when we were sinning against him. He was suffering for us and left us an example to follow in his steps. And then, Chuck, the next verse says, in the same way you wives. And several verses later it says, in the same way you husbands. When the Bible, when Peter was talking about redemptive behavior, his first example was marriage. There are many, many times in every marriage where your spouse is not doing the right thing, and we have to make our minds up of what we're going to do in response. And is many people, in response to their spouse not doing the right thing, they do the wrong thing, and they justify it.
You have a classic case. You have a classic case right in your book called Radical Redemption. My husband is having an affair, living part-time with another woman and the family, and part-time with me. He comes to the house three or four nights a week, eats and changes his clothes. He makes it known to me and the kids that he also lives with this other woman. He goes back and forth. For months he's been doing this. I don't know what to do. I mean, that's a prescription that most professing Christian counselors today would say, divorce him. Well, but you didn't say that.
No, no. When she came in to see me, she told me about it, that story, and I said, well, you're here because you want to save your marriage? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, well, let me tell you what to do. And I said, when he comes home tonight, I want you to treat him like you would treat Jesus. She said, did you hear what I just said? She said, you know, he's committing adultery and doing all those kind of things. And I said, well, hey, listen, if you want to divorce him, you can divorce him. I thought you were here because you want to save your marriage. And she said, I do want to save a marriage. I said, well, I'm going to tell you how to save your marriage. I said, I'm not guaranteeing it'll work because he has decisions that he needs to make. I said, but if you want to step into the role of redeemer in the marriage, the Bible says that you can redeem him without a word as he observes your chaste and respectful behavior.
Mm.
And she said, well, tell me what to do. And I said, well, we go home, and when he comes in the house tonight, cook him his favorite meal, be dressed up, and just, you know, do everything you can when he comes in to let him know that you love him and that, you know, that you want the marriage to work. And
I want to pick up on this after the break. This is really crucial stuff, friend. You got to get a copy of Jimmy's book just for that illustration alone, Our Secret Paradise, Your Gift of $19 or More to Save America Ministries. Hard-bound book. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, 350 Postage and Handling. We'll be right back. Here we are again on Viewpoint Conversation with Conviction, dialogue that demands our decisions regarding our marriages. Is it possible to have paradise in your marriage? Our special guest today, Jimmy Evans, says absolutely. He has seen his own marriage restored last 30-some years when they were all but divorced, and I got to tell you, this story has happened over and over again. He says what really needs to happen is what he calls radical redemption in our marriage. And of course, that is, God wants to restore paradise in our lives. Satan stole it from us, and the more we believe his lies concerning our marriages, concerning our families, concerning our ways, we are just allowing him to destroy the paradise that God wants to bring back into our lives. So, Jimmy, we were talking about this amazing counseling situation that you ran into with a woman coming to you complaining that her husband's having an affair. He's living part-time with another woman, and then with her, his wife and his own kids. He doesn't see anything wrong with it, apparently. And the woman comes to you, and she wants to see her marriage saved. But most counselors, even Christian counselors and their pastors, would say, hey, just divorce him. You deserve better. That's what they're saying.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there are so many times when people give up so quickly on their marriages, and statistics have proven with beyond a shadow of a doubt that people who stay married through difficulty not only have better marriages, but 5 years later rate their marriages as happy just because they outlasted their problems. Mm. It creates a tremendous amount of security in the marriage, knowing that not only can we get through things, but we will get through things, that we're committed to the marriage. But
you told this woman that here she was supposedly the innocent spouse. You told her, hey, treat him like Jesus. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, every redeemer is a righteous person. You know, Jesus was the righteous person in our relationship with him, and the right person does the right thing first. The best person does the right thing first.
Ooh.
A redeemer is someone who is willing to step into a bad situation and not respond in kind to the wrong that's been done to them, but to respond righteously in a redemptive manner. It's exactly what husbands and wives have been called to do, 1 Peter 3, according to the example that we're told in 1 Peter 2. Well, this woman came in to see me, and most marriage counseling is initiated by women. 98% is initiated by women.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a bad situation. Their husbands are being, you know, jerks or insensitive or whatever. And in her case, it was very radical. Her husband was having an affair openly, coming home, just changing his clothes and being at home for a little while, and then openly going over and living with another woman. And so she asked me what to do, and I told her. I said, treat him like you would Jesus. And she said, well, you know, are you crazy? You know, did you hear what I told you about him? And I said, well, you can divorce him. I thought you were here because you wanted to save the marriage. And she said, well, I do. And I said, well, here's what to do. So I told her, I said, you know, put on your nicest clothing, fix up the house, fix his favorite meal. And when he comes home at night, do everything that you can do to let him know that you love him. I said, don't justify the affair. You know, you're not saying that you agree with the affair. You're just fighting with a different spirit. And so after so she did that, and it got his attention. And after several nights of that, he just asked her, what are you up to? And so she came back to see me the next week, and she said, what do I tell him? And I said, you tell him that you came to see a marriage counselor and that I told you what to do and that I would like to talk to him. And because we definitely had his attention, that's for sure.
I guess so.
He was still going to the other gal's house. He hadn't changed yet.
And this has got to be a terrible, gut-wrenching thing for this woman to be going through.
Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, her feelings are torn up.
Oh, yeah. But she still loved him.
Yeah.
Chuck, and so she wanted the marriage to work. So I told her, I said, well, when he asks what's going on, tell him that you're coming to see me, and I'm telling you what to do, and tell him I want to see him. And she said, really? And she said, he will not come to see you. And I said, well, he might, because it's probably got his attention. And he probably just, out of curiosity, wants to meet me. And so sure enough, next time she came back, he came with her. And he came in my office, and he said, well, you know, I know she's told you about me. And I said, yeah, she has. Told me that you're having an affair. And he said, yeah, I'm having an affair and all that. Well, the short version is he got gloriously saved in my office that day. He totally repented of the relationship with the other woman and admitted in my office he wasn't happy with this other woman. He just wasn't happy at home either. He was miserable wherever he was.
Mm-hmm.
But her behavior had communicated such love and grace to him that it put in contrast with the other gal that he was having the affair with, that he didn't want that relationship. He did want his marriage to work. He felt like a bum, but he didn't know what to do. And I said, well, what you need to do is you need to give your life to Christ. You need to become a leader, a godly leader of your home. Let me just tell you something, Chuck. The short version is this guy became one of my favorite people on earth. He was a godly, godly father and husband. And you talk about radical redemption. And I'm telling you, that girl, that woman was so proud of herself, and she should have been. She was courageous, and she did a very difficult thing in a very difficult period.
Yes.
But she saved her family, and that's what redemption does. It's what we've been called to do. If you fight fire with fire, you get a bigger fire.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can defeat a spirit is with the opposite spirit. And that's why Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Bless those who curse you.
So our pastors, our counselors that are telling people in this kind of situation, you deserve better. Go out and divorce him. God will forgive you and all this. They're not giving spiritual counsel, are they?
They're not giving spiritual counsel. But even on a secular level, Chuck, it's just bad counsel. Divorce is the answer to marriage problems. Like cutting your arm off for a broken arm. It's you just exchange one set of problems for another. This is proven in research. People who divorce are no happier than unhappy people who stay married, and unhappy people who stay married, almost 80% are happy 5 years later.
Yes, that's what the studies show.
Yeah.
Now, you told this man that you had this conversation with his wife when he comes in, and you said, now it's your turn. You go home and love her in the same way that Jesus loves the church.
Yep. And he did. I'll tell you, he was so broken and such a good guy and acting like an idiot before he mm-hmm. got saved. But, you know, people who don't know Christ act like they don't know Christ.
Well, and many people that claim to know Christ are acting like idiots that don't know Christ.
That's right. And you were talking about marriage counselors that counsel people to get out of their marriages. There are extreme circumstances, extreme abuse, or, you know, extreme circumstances where a person doesn't have a choice. They're deserted. They're divorced.
Well, I think they do have a choice. I would disagree with you on that. I think they still have a choice. And,
well, they have a choice always to fight for the marriage, but 86% of all divorces are not based on severe circumstances.
You're right.
86% are based on irreconcilable differences, what people think are irreconcilable differences,
mm-hmm.
Which really is more just someone bailing out of the marriage. But I strongly believe that if a person will stay in the marriage will get better. You endure it. You outlast your problems. You learn to work through problems. Every great marriage that I have ever seen is a marriage that went through very difficult times, but the couple stayed in there. And every great marriage. I've never seen a great marriage that was the product of two compatible people who got married and never had problems.
All right. And that's why you say you have a chapter in your book entitled From Pain to Paradise. Adam and Eve are the only ones who were born in paradise, and the rest of us has to work to get there. Usually that means suffering pain along the way. Pain will come. We can be sure of it. So, you know, in this day and age in which we live, Jimmy, the whole concept of having pain, of having to endure something, of having to live our marriages by faith, for instance, is a non sequitur. It just doesn't compute in our culture today. What you're bringing is something that is so dramatically contra to our culture and even what's happening in God's house that it's revolutionary.
Well, what we're doing isn't working, Chuck. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Is what's happening in the church today in America today just simply isn't working.
That's right.
The Bible works. I heard someone say one time that the problem with bad theology isn't that it's not true. It just doesn't work. And that the problem with the marriage beliefs that we have in America today isn't just that they're not true. They don't work. And the families are falling apart. Jesus said if we would hear his word and obey it, we would be like people who built their houses on a rock. And he said the rain comes and the wind will blow. But the house will not fall because it was founded on the rock. You know, sand is a very comfortable thing. If you lay down on sand and you get up, it looks like you. It's very conformable. But rock, if you lay down on a rock and get up, you look like it. It doesn't conform to you. But the great thing about a rock is it makes a very stable foundation. And in the hard times, you're so glad that you built your house on a rock. Our society is building their marriages and their lives on the shifting sand of what society thinks, what celebrities are doing, what psychologists think that are not basing what they believe on the Word of God.
And the dictates of our feelings at the moment.
That's exactly right. And I'll tell you, they're harsh taskmasters. They're like the devil. They promise the world and give you nothing.
There you go.
Jesus pays up every time on what he says.
Friend, you just can't make feelings the Lord of your life. Please, it's time for us to submit to Jesus and his word, and we do that by faith, even in our marriages. We got to have passion. You can't talk about success in marriage without talking about passion. Jimmy's talked about that in his book, Every Good Marriage Has Passion. It's important for a marriage relationship to be characterized by positive emotion, but remember that you can't rely upon your emotions. They are very deceptive, just like Satan himself. And remember this, this is a great line from Jimmy's book, the best marriages have two redeemers, but the best person always does the right thing first. Let me ask you a question. Are you that best person? Prove it. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. A big thank you to Jimmy Evans. Get your copy of his great book, Hardbound, Our Secret Paradise, Secrets for Building a Secure